Are we running away from a bear, or are we at a Taylor Swift concert? It's a question we've all asked. Are we running away from a bear, or are we at a Taylor Swift concert? So this question has been asked by attendees of the pop star's most recent concert tour. I'll pose it one more time. Are we running away from a bear, or are we at a Taylor Swift concert? Now, concertgoers didn't know they were asking this question. It was a subconscious reaction by their brain and their nervous system in response to their heightened excitement. The body interprets this excitement as stress, and it prepares to run away from a bear, or fight a bear, or in their case, watch Taylor Swift in concert. So this phenomenon has come to light because of many reports in which people shelled out hundreds or thousands of dollars to see the concert, can't remember it. I mean, they have like a vague recollection, but can't remember any details. And several psychologists have agreed this lack of memory is due to the body responding to the emotions and the stress instead of making memories. I've never been overwhelmed by a Taylor Swift concert, but I have been overwhelmed by fear and forgotten God's faithfulness and doubted him in the moment. I've been consumed with anger and lost sight of the peace that I believe is mine in Christ. I've never been chased by a bear, but I've been haunted by my shame and wondered if I was really forgiven through my faith in Jesus. I've seen the power of God's creation, and I know the mystery of his presence. But when things have gotten hard, I've pushed all that aside and said, well, I need to be God in this moment. I need to fix it. I need to be responsible for it. And I've made everything worse. Have you found yourself there? At the end of yourself? Maybe you're there today. You have just tried to make things right, tried to fix it, tried to stop this or start that, run yourself ragged. You've come to the end of yourself and said, can God even be here? Or maybe it was too much and you escaped. You found yourself in a pit of addiction or regret, and you wonder, could God be there? Or maybe life just feels like a cycle of reacting instead of living, right? You feel like you're like the concert goers, reacting to this emotion and the stress, and you're just surviving instead of being grounded in your faith and thriving. You feel like you're just responding to a world that's out of control, instead of trusting your faith in God who's in control. You feel like you have faith, but in the day-to-day, it's just hard to live by that faith. Well, God anticipated this like he does all things, so he gave us a solution in the book of James. We're in chapter 1 of James, if you want to turn there. We're in our second week in a study on the book of James, and James encourages us to live what we believe. Don't just agree with God's word, but live like you believe it. Don't follow Jesus in words only, but also in your actions and your trust in him. And today, we see that James tells us that our faith should be telt and felt. We should say that we believe God's word, and our belief should be felt in how we live. Felt and telt, heard in our words, and seen in our actions. You're not going to be able to get past it, so we'll just address it, okay? Is telt a word? I would say it is now. Our faith should be telt and felt, spoken and lived. But this is something we cannot do in our own power, so let's pray and ask God to help us. God, we thank you for your word. We just thank you for what we've seen here today, that you bring us to life. God, that you can redeem and heal and restore. We thank you for your word and its challenge today to live what we believe. So for those in this room who know Jesus as their Savior, help us to be convicted enough to live as though we believe you are God and you are good and you are in control and that our eternity is secure. For those who don't know Jesus as Savior, would you open their hearts and their minds and soften them that they would see how known and loved they are by you? And more than anything else, help us to see Jesus in your word today. Amen. So we're in chapter 1 of James, verse 19. Let's read. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So this says faith in Jesus should change us. It shouldn't go in one ear and out the window. But what we hear and read is what we should do. We should talk about our faith and live it. It should be telt and felt. You know, I'm sorry. I've been really busy lately. We had to put up a new fence recently, and I've been wanting to stain the pickets, and I just haven't had time. So I just thought I would do some today, if that's okay with you. Sometimes a man has to do two things at once. Do you mind if I do this? Is that okay? I've never done this before, so I don't know. Feel free to talk amongst yourselves. Years ago, Christy said, hey, if you're going to try an illustration during a sermon, you should practice it beforehand. That involved lighting firecrackers. And I tried it and realized it was a bad idea and still did it. Say, good fences make good neighbors, they say, so I think I should really get this going. Our neighbors are real short, so this length is fine. And our weeds are real tall, so that's fine, too. That's all you'll see right there. You know, this color takes a few coats, so I'll do some more when that dries. Thanks for understanding and letting me do that. I appreciate it. What were we saying? James, yes. So James tells us we should do something with God's word. When I refer to God's word, I mean his written word, the Bible. It's God's living and timeless communication with us. If you've ever said, man, I wish God would just speak to me, this is a good place to listen. So faith should be telt and felt. But before our faith can be felt, James tells us it has to be received. We need to receive God's word. If you're a fill-in-the-blanker, that is your first, well, no, it's one of your first. Receive God's word. Receiving the word of God means trusting what it says. And it says we're born into a broken and sinful world, and that is the reason we experience pain and heartache, and loneliness, and disease, and death. That is true. The other truth is God offers us his grace. which saves us from that, saves us for eternity, and gives us a reason to have hope and to live today. Now, here's an important part of this puzzle. God doesn't offer you this salvation and this grace because you're good and you've earned it. He also doesn't withhold salvation and grace and his love from you because you're bad. God offers you salvation and grace and his love because that he loves you. And this says we are freely given the invitation to decline the fleeting satisfaction of this world and receive God's free gift of eternal life. That's verse 21. It says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. That's this world. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive God's word. Receive the hope and the life that is freely offered to you. And look at this. God is so good, he planted it in your heart. It's yours to receive. Ecclesiastes says God has put eternity into man's heart. So, when you feel unsettled in this life, it's because God made you that way. This world is not our home, and we were never intended to be fulfilled here. But God never gives us a challenge without a solution, so he gave us his word, which shows us our way home back to him. Since it's Father's Day, I want to tell you about my father-in-law, Joe. He passed away a few years ago, but he was an inspiring man. He was a really cool guy. This was his shirt, so you can tell how hip he was, right? So Joe built two successful garden centers in the Garden State, New Jersey. Represent? New Jersey in the house? Yep, a little bit. So the beginning of his business was humble. He would go into New York City in the middle of the night and buy fresh produce, then head back to New Jersey where he would sell it from a cart. That would become a thriving business. And he was a great source of horticultural insight. When a customer would come in and buy sod for their yard and ask advice on how to plant it, he would say, "You're going to want to plant that with the green side up." So I don't have the gift of growth that Joe possessed. Christy and I recently planted 7 unkillable juniper trees in our backyard. We currently have like 2.5 remaining. That makes me the juniper terminator. They won't be back. So after one of these trees turned a fascinating copper color and no longer identified as an evergreen, I asked Joe what to do. And he said, "Well, there's a disease in the soil, and any juniper you plant there will die. So what you need to do is pull out that bad soil, replace it with healthy soil, and then new, strong trees can grow." That made me think of Psalm 1. Listen to this. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers." That's a healthy tree. And health doesn't happen by chance, right? But by nurturing the tree's environment. So James tells us in this to give God's word an environment in our life to grow, to nurture God's word. For our faith to be felt, we have to nurture God's word. Verse 23 says, "For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That sounds a lot like the tree in Psalm 1, doesn't it? Allowing God's word to grow in our lives and nurturing it leads us to know God and his will and his blessing for our lives. So how do we do that? How do we nurture God's word? We have two examples. Psalm 1 says the man spent time with it to the point that he was soaked in it. Right? James says the man who's blessed looks intently into the word and perseveres in it. So nurturing God's word means spending time with it and knowing what it says. Because sometimes we say, I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. It's really hard to know what God wants you to do if you don't know what he said. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back of the room on that bookshelf back there. It's a good place to keep books. And it's a study Bible, so it's a normal Bible, but at the bottom it has notes explaining what you read. So I tell you what, this needs another coat, so if you need a Bible, go grab one right now. It can be your Father's Day gift. I reconsidered wearing this shirt because Stain isn't just a clever name. This is really deterring me from actually doing this to my own fence. Because we have at least 10 times this many pickets. It's a stubborn little thing. It is pretty naughty. Hey. You need to learn how to do this, okay? My free labor's sitting over there. Okay, it's looking good. Okay. What were we saying? Nurture. As we nurture God's word, the result of that is that we would do God's word. If you have received God's word and you nurture it in your life, the natural overflow is that you would begin to do God's word. Verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So would you consider yourself a doer of the word? You think your faith is felt? And how do you even do God's word? Well, in this section in James, there's a couple of ways. Verse 26, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, that person's religion is worthless. So one way we do God's word is by bridling our tongue. That means watch your mouth. Be careful with your words, because Proverbs says death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means our words can build up and encourage and give life, or they can tear down and discourage and destroy. So James tells us to bridle our tongue. Now, if you check out my friend here, a bridle is used to control a horse. It controls how fast and where they run. Now, the thing is, that horse still weighs over 1,000 pounds. That horse is still powerful. But the power is aimed by the bridle in the right direction. So we do God's word by bridling our tongue and using our words to give life. Speaking of horses, I don't want any horses getting in my yard, so I'm going to do another coat here. Because horses have a bad reputation for playing. People don't like it. Especially around swimming pools, there's always no horseplay. I, for one, I say let the horses play. Right? Let the horse have his day. Is it Mr. Ed? I think he should have gotten his doctorate. Call him Dr. Ed. Okay. And I'll keep the horses out. Okay, let's move on to verse 27. One way we do God's words, bridling our tongue. Verse 27 shows us another way. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. So our worship together here should motivate to take what we feel inside this building, in this place, and make it felt outside of this building. Our faith should be telt and felt. And we do that by imitating God. Psalm 68 says, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God. That's who God is. And widows and orphans represent those who can't help themselves. People who've been taken advantage of or exploited or abused or people who have needs they can't meet on their own. So making faith felt means that when we see a need, we meet that need. It's not someone else's problem. And that could be as simple as changing air filters for a widow in your neighborhood. It might mean you travel to third world countries to protect the innocence of at-risk children. It could be either of those extremes, but what I promise you it looks like is what God puts directly before you. Because seeing a need is a chance to make your faith felt. You could tell a hungry person about Jesus, but they're a lot more likely to listen if you buy them a burger. Right? So the needs of those around you are opportunities to make your faith felt. Speaking of needs, I think this needs one more coat. Actually, I think it's pretty good. It's as good as I'm going to get it. I mean, it's been completely changed, right? Its stain has penetrated it. And it's not at all like it used to be. So, well, let's get back to the sermon then. Let's finish verse 27. We didn't finish it before. It says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Keep oneself unstained from the world. How do we become stained by the world? Was it kind of represented in this? Right, it was a little bit at a time, right? The first time I swept the brush across that, not much happened. It actually kind of resisted it. But it was a little bit at a time, right? So do we become stained by this world over time? Right, we get wrapped up in habits or actions that we never would have considered, but small choices over time can alter us. One little compromise can lead to another, and we find ourselves just wondering who we become. So the good news is, if you today feel stuck or stained, our God is the God of healing and redemption and transformation. If you feel today like you are stained or you're even down in a pit, do you know what the Bible says about God? It says that he will reach into that pit and pull you out. And sometimes he does that, but you know, baptism is a picture of that, where he reaches into the pit of death and lifts us out. Sometimes he does that by his direct intervention. Sometimes he does it through people who love you, maybe love you even enough to say, hey, something needs to change. Or sometimes he helps through counselors who are trained to help. So if you feel stained or stuck or in a pit, I just want to tell you today, there is hope. With God, all things are possible. I've lived it and I've seen it. But James tells us that when we intentionally do God's word, that prevents us from becoming stained by the world. Okay, so for our faith to be telt and felt, we receive God's word, we nurture God's word, and we do God's word. And now James tells us what happens when we do that. Verse 25 says, "The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So this is God's word, because it's called the law of liberty, sets us free. God's word sets us free. Free from the consequence of sin apart from Jesus. Because when we know our identity in Jesus, we're set free from being defined by our past or our regrets or our shame. It also tells us that God's word blesses us. Remember, the person that does God's word is like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its season, its leaf doesn't wither, and all they do, they prosper and they're blessed. Finally, James tells us that God's word saves our soul. God's word is the truth and the hope that saves our soul. Verse 21 says, "Put away the world," right? Put away all the filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive the word, which is able to save your soul. So God's word sets us free from the hopelessness of this world. It blesses us while we're in this temporary world, and it saves our souls from this broken world. And that leads to a faith that's telt and felt. Martin Luther, who wore cool hats, he says, "We're saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that remains alone. We're purely saved because we trust Jesus and believe he is our Savior. But then that faith grows and we become doers. Belief in God's word compels us to live a faith that's felt. We're not saved because of good things we do, but we do good things because we're saved. So Robert Kraft, he is a cognitive psychology professor at Otterbein University. He has some insight to the hazy Taylor Swift concert memories. He said it's actually just an unrealistic expectation of our memory. Our memory is not meant to be a recorder. He actually encourages and says a vague memory is a sign that you were present in the moment. He said, we don't set out to remember our lives. We set out to experience our lives. And today, James tells us the same is true of our faith, that the hope we receive from our salvation in Jesus isn't meant to be stored away in our heart. It is meant to be experienced by the people around us. Our hope should be heard in our words and felt in our actions, telt and felt. And all of that flows from our relationship with God's word. So receive God's word. Nurture God's word. Do God's word. That will set you free, it will bless you, and it will save your soul. And it will lead to a faith that's telt and felt. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Thank you for your word that is the solution to the problem we are born into. It is the way home to you. Thank you that we don't need to be fulfilled or satisfied in this life, in this world, because you've put eternity in our heart. And through your Son, you bring us home. And God, in this life, we want to be close to you. We want to depend on you. We want to abide with you because you are the way and the truth and the life. You are the way, the well that never runs dry. So Lord, help us to abide with you.